Yes, we play our part for the love of the child, for the love of community, for the love of radio. WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York. We are live in Columbia County with the Haitian cultural program, Le Temps. I'm Colleen Murphy, your co-host.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Azuke Gregory Sano. We welcome you, and we have a lot of things we're going to discuss this afternoon.
Yes, a lot of changes and a lot of things happened after the Hurricane Melissa and the efforts that being made in the community to help not just the Haitians, but also the Caribbean as a whole, because everybody suffered a major loss in this during the hurricane. Haitian Times published an article on how Haitians and Jamaicans and Florida have worked together to raise the fund necessary to help them, to help each other. And so I will discuss with you the efforts that are being made with this effort from Haitians and the diaspora, and also mostly in Miami, because they have a large population of Haitians in Florida, and what those Haitians are doing alongside with the other Caribbean immigrants to be able to do those things that need to be done to help the Haitians. Before we go to there, let's see what we have in this particular, here it is. Caribbean diaspora from Miami to New York fuels Hurricane Melissa relief efforts. Diaspora communities across the U.S. are organizing relief efforts after Hurricane Melissa devastated parts of the Caribbean, including Haiti, where dozens have died and thousands remain displaced. On Coconut Creek, Florida, South Florida was spared a direct blow from Hurricane Melissa, but the massive storm still hit home for the millions of residents there who have deep roots in the Caribbean. Now the Caribbean diaspora from Miami to New York City is turning its heartbreak into action, filling warehouses with emergency supplies to send to communities across Jamaica, Cuba, Haiti, and the Bahamas that were battered by Melissa, one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes on record. Centers of global wealth and vibrant exile communities that run generations deep, both cities have long been major points of entry for immigrants and cultural melting pots. Miami-Dade County, Florida's largest county, is now home to more immigrants than native-born Americans. For many in Miami, the city is an unofficial capital of Latin America, where the salsa clubs of Little Havana and the Wooster Field Street of Little Haiti feel physically and culturally closer to the Caribbean than the rest of the mainland U.S. Across Florida, there are more than 1 million foreign-born Cubans and 231,000 foreign-born Jamaicans, while New York State is home to 22,800 foreign-born Cubans and 225,000 foreign-born Jamaicans, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Many Haitian Americans are all too familiar with the pain of watching a catastrophe unfold from afar. With Melissa being the latest in a long line of crises, but members of the diaspora do their best to support loved ones back home, says Karine Jocelyn, the chief executive officer of Brooklyn-based Diaspora Community Services. The feeling of donation fatigue doesn't apply to Haiti, she said, adding, we don't really get to say that. Even as gang violence continues to disrupt transportation in the capital of Port-au-Prince, Jocelyn says she hopes resources will still be able to get in through the Carpathian and Lekai airports. She urged donors to give to verified Haitian nonprofits to ensure aid reaches communities most in need. Nonprofit groups told the Associated Press that cash is the best way to help. An expert recommends using sites like Charity Navigator or the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance to check out unfamiliar charities before donating. Eugene Lapin, president of the Rural Development and Civic Engagement Organization Association, Des Paysans, Haute Douzième, is leading a rescue mission to communities near his mountainside city of Petit Goave in southern Haiti. People are leaving their home to seek shelter, Eugene said. We are doing our best as a community to help each other through this. At a bustling warehouse in the suburban Broward County, Florida, city of Coconut Creek on Thursday, volunteers with the Hunger and Poverty Relief Organization Food for the Poor hustled to assemble emergency care kits and load dozens of pallets, food, water, and personal hygiene products. Susan James Casserly, who comes from a long line of Jamaican cattle farmers, was born on the island but came to South Florida in 1978, and she now works for the charity. She's flying out to help with the on-site relief effort in her home country, where many were still recovering from last year's hurricane peril. Hit when Melissa showed up on the radar. Jamaicans are very strong and resilient. I'm afraid of what I'm going to see, but one of the things I know is that we are ready to help, she said. Kivette Silvera, who was born in Jamaica and now lives in South Florida, was among the Food for the Poor team who rode out the storm on the island. Huddle and prayer as she listened to the wind howl and watch the trees bend. Words can't express what they are going through right now. It's devastating. It is devastating, she said in an interview from the organization's office in the city of Spanish Town, west of the capital, Kingston. Marlon Hill is a corporate attorney in Miami who is helping lead the group South Florida Caribbean Strong to mobilize volunteers and donors for the storm response. For me, being a born Jamaican and a raised American, this one hits different, Hill told reporters. In the Broward County suburb of Miramar, where every member of the city council is either a Caribbean immigrant or the child of one, residents have also sprung into action. Local officials have organized a citywide relief effort to collect and deliver essential supplies to the island. Residents can drop off items like shelf-stable food, water, tarps, flashlights, and sleeping bags at designated donation sites at fire departments and police stations 24 hours a day. In the nearby city of Lauderhill, residents can take donations to City Hall, parks, and Jamaican restaurants in the area. In Cooper City, Brittany and Duane have offered up their home as a drop-off site for diapers and other necessities. The couple are the co-founders of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Diaper Bank, and many of the organization's volunteers and supporters grew up in Jamaica or still have family on the island. Duane, who was born in the central Jamaican city of Mandeville, still hasn't been able to reach cousins, friends, and loved ones there in the aftermath of the storm. But while he waits for a call, he can focus on gathering more donations. I truly feel that a lot of folks that live in South Florida can really relate because we are so close. Contributions to the Diaper Bank's online fundraising site have been coming in from around the world, Brittany Wall said, as the organization prepared to send the first shipment of diapers to Jamaica. It's home, and when things like this happen, you know, you have to help. And that was an article published on Haitian Times in regard to this situation in Jamaica. The other update that we have on Haiti is the a news report about Mexico. They claim that charter flight to Mexico, fake charter flight to Mexico. Apparently, there has been a report that says all over social media that there is a direct flight from Cap-Haitien to Cancun, Mexico. In response to this publication or this in social media, the Mexican embassy is alerting the public to the circulation of false advertisement concerning alleged charter flights between Cap-Haitien and Cancun on social media. The embassy informed the public that the Federal Civil Aviation Agency has not granted authorization for the operation of such flights between Haiti and Mexico. Please remain vigilant. Users are also reminded that Mexican immigration authorities may request additional documentation from foreign nationals wishing to enter Mexico on a visitor visa to justify the purpose of their trip, including proof of a return ticket to their country of origin. Immigration authorities are authorized to deny entry to Mexico to individuals who do not meet these requirements. For officials and up-to-date information on visa procedures and entry requirements for Mexico, please consult the embassy website. Well, that's good to know that the people, especially with that on social media regarding Haiti, and a lot of people who know that they are coming from Chile, and not just Haitians, but all the people coming from Central America or Latin America, who think that with the visa they can, from Cap-Haitien, they can enter Saint-Domingue, they can enter Mexico. Then this is a report that those who know this, who have relatives traveling to Mexico, please alert them. Because that's not what you hear is not what's going to happen.
If you have a visa, you cannot go if you have a visa.
No, you can travel on a visitor's visa, but you have to have a return ticket.
Yeah, that two way.
Yeah, you have to have your return. If you are on visitor, so you are expected to return
back.
Home.
Yeah,
you can go on visitor on as a visitor with one way ticket.
Okay.
But people will try to sell your ticket. Oh, I'm just going out. But when are you coming back? I don't know yet. Or I don't have the money yet. No, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, you have to show that you come in for a period of time and you're going back, you know, to your country of origin. So this is something that the Haitians have to pay attention. Or if you know anyone from Haiti, well, please pay attention to that, because this is what it is. You can't travel on a visa, and then you expect people you expect the government to allow you in, but you don't have a visa to return back home. And then when you get there and you're stuck, and you have all kind of issues. Now let's listen to Michael Lemorin.
Avec l'espoir.
Yes, that was Michael Lemoyne and Don't Want to See the People Suffer. And that's what they've been going through all these years. Now let's move on to segment historical events for this week.
Yes, for this week we have November 14, 2005, a hip-hop musician distribute food in Haiti, Slim and Juan Ventura by Wyclef Jean, the Yearly Haiti and the World Food Program. Oui, le 14 novembre 2005, artiste qui relè Wyclef Jean avec Ventura, yote rencontré nous, yote nous délivré food, yote bay food nan quartier populaire, yo. Yote servi moun ki te nan problème. November 15, 1821, Spanish Haiti, Haiti Spaniol, frontier toward raise the Haitian flag as a show of independence. Le 15 novembre 1821, Partie l'Est
Yeah, we said something about Spanish Haiti.
Yeah.
So that shows you that, why do they have to say Spanish Haiti? Because in that time when the island was one, one side was French, the other side was Spanish, and the reason is because it was dominated or colonized by Spain.
Yeah.
But it was one island.
Yeah.
So when they decided to divide themselves, to separate themselves from Haiti, so they claimed the Spanish part because that's where they were. So that's not an independence they claim from Haiti.
We will say it's a
separation.
It was colonized before by the
Spaniards.
The Spaniards. Yeah. After French fight with the
Spaniard.
They kick them out. Now French get the island now. Now back then his name
Spanish Haiti.
No, Hispaniola.
Yeah. Well, that's how they call it when
the Spain was there.
Yeah, well, before Spain, it was the Indians.
Yeah.
Now, when the Spain came in, with Christopher Columbus, it called the whole island Hispaniola.
Hispaniola, because in French they said Petite Spain.
Yeah. So that means that's a little Spain.
Yeah.
Okay. The little Spain. But what happened is, once the French get into the slaves, they bring the slaves to the eastern part.
They fight with the Spanish first.
This was after the independence, they kicked them out. No, during the slave revolt.
Yeah.
Before the slave revolt, because the slaves were was brought to the island on the eastern part,
yeah.
And the Spaniards were on the other part because they were there first.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when the Haitians fought
the French
and claim independence, they also didn't want Spanish to stay there on that other part of the island.
Yeah.
But when they fought and get the Spanish out, the descendants of those Spaniards claim that this is Spaniel, this is a little island, it still remain a Spanish Haiti. So they claim Haiti as a Spanish. No. Because what do they call it? Spanish Haiti.
When there's no Spanish Haiti, when the French fought the Spain, it kicked Spain out, French take over.
Yeah,
it's French take over the whole island. Yeah, the whole
thing. It's called Saint-Domingue.
When the Haitian Revolution in 1804, they kicked the French out.
Yeah.
But the Haiti have the whole island now.
Because that's why the French call it Saint-Domingue.
Yeah, but when French get there, it was named Saint-Domingue.
No, it was Hispaniola.
When Spain was there.
Yeah, but then when French came in, they call it, the whole thing is confusing.
When the Spanish was there, they call it Hispaniola, mean the Petite Spain, Spain.
Okay.
When French came, they call it Saint-Domingue.
Saint-Domingue, that's right. And call it Saint-Domingue.
Like it was the Cape Haitian.
That's right. They told it have Haitian. But
when the Haitian
fought
the French kicked them out,
They claimed the whole Saint-Domingue, Haiti.
The Empire
of Haiti. But they called the whole island. They changed their names from Saint-Domingue to Haiti.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's a group of
descendants of
Spain was in the less of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Dessalines to let them stay there.
Mm-hmm.
you know. They shall tell them, if you want to stay there, you have to be like a Haitian citizen.
Yeah. You have to accept to be a Haitian citizen.
Or they have to leave to go to...
With
to,
the French. Or the, with the no, Spanish.
Or the place like Argentina, where Central the Spain America. Have been colonized.
Okay. Yeah. Spanish. Yeah. Latin America. Latin America. Or Central
they
America.
Said, no, they want to stay. They want. They accept to be like Haitian.
But so the whole island was reunited.
It was nothing in paper.
So the whole the island was reunited as Haiti.
Yeah. The empire.
Yeah. But at the same time, the Spanish side... They themselves called this side Spanish.
Yeah.
And the French, Haiti. Now, the other side where Haiti is, even after the French left. But the Spaniard claim they, since they speak Spanish, then this is the Spanish part of
because
Haiti.
Because the Spanish...
That's what
they,
I understand they, when they said Spanish Haiti.
They
killed
a lot of Haitian there. The Haitian people was living there back then. They killed almost 30,000.
Yeah, that's Haitian. after the independence. But what I'm saying is, when they call it Spanish Haiti, it's to claim that this side of Haiti speaks Spanish, and the other side speaks French and Creole. Yeah, but that's why they call it Spanish Haiti. No. If they claim it because of the heritage after the Spanish left.
No. The person is right. It's Spanish Haiti, but there is no Spanish Haiti.
Yeah, they just give it the title.
The title, you know.
Yeah.
Oui. C'est ça nous dit, le 15 novembre 1821. Pendant les Dominicains, ils ont monté le drapeau sur la frontière, ils ont déclaré qu'ils prennent l'indépendance. Ils n'ont pas pris l'indépendance dans un pays
qui a sorti
l'indépendance. Yes. November 16, 2004, Canada increased its support for the electoral process in Haiti. Le 16 novembre 2005, le gouvernement canadien by plus support pour élection qui t'a pas fait en Haïti. Yes, November 17, 1915, Haitian freedom fighter Kakos were massacred at the Fort River at Mountain Fort to the south of Grand Rivière du Nord. Le 17 septembre 1915, groupe yotere les Kakos en Haïti, c'est une bataille qui était pété dans la zone Grand Rivière du Nord, en pile là où tu es mort. November 18, Battle of Vertier, Dessalines defeated Rochambeau, his forces. Et le 18 novembre 1803, tu as gagné ça, la bataille de Vertier.
Dessalines
te gagné Rochambeau. Haïtien te gagné la France bataille. C'est ça qui a venu là, le 18 novembre là. Yes. C'est la plus grosse bataille qui était faite dans le pays. November 18, 1930, Stenio Vincent is elected to a 6-year term of president of Haiti. Le 18 novembre 1930, président Thierry Stenio Vincent, monsieur était élu pour l'autre 6 ans. Il était élu pour les 6 ans. On t'aime 6 ans. November 1983, French General Rochambeau signed a document of surrender and agreed to evacuate French troops from Saint-Domingue. Rochambeau is later given as a prison to the British. That's the way we're talking about the November 19, 1803. French General Rochambeau, he lost the fight against the Haitian army.
Yeah.
He signed an agreement to evacuate the French troops from Saint-Domingue.
You see?
That's when they move all the French in Saint-Domingue.
Mm-hmm.
That's mean.
Well, they said that Saint-Domingue, which is the French name for the whole
because
island.
Because the French beat the Spain.
Yeah.
That's why they changed the name. It's not Spaniola anymore.
Yeah.
It's like if...
Because it's Saint-Domingue.
Yeah.
So that's the reason you have Saint-Domingo. Now you call it Saint-Domingo for Spanish.
Yeah.
But it's Saint-Domingue.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's that... In November 21st, 1492, Columbus ship La Pinta vanished into the darkness of the coast of Cuba.
Oh, that's when they lost that ship. And I've heard researchers were making efforts to see if they can recover the ruin of that ship.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and on the coast of Cuba. Off the coast of Cuba.
Yeah, so they still have that? Yeah, le 21 novembre 1492, Columbus, bâtiment Christophe là, il était bâtiment Christophe.
You're not there?
Yeah. Non, premier, c'est avec ça le devini, premier. C'est après le devini à trois bateaux, le tal côté renan.
Yeah.
Le débat l'aide. Mais il dit, la peine d'être vanished into the darkness of the coast of Cuba. Mm-hmm. That means it's the first boat discovered the Cuba.
Oh,
because to go to Haiti, you have to pass by Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the darkness, they discovered Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Oui, c'est ça nous t'aiguille pour...
Historical events. Okay, I received a few music from new records, young people who have made their name out there. So let's find one of them and play and share it with our listeners, because this is really... we have new voices. And so we'll see what those new voices have to say. What they have to say, let's find out. Let's see. This one is Anaika Nehemiah Jean, and her presentation that was and her presentation La Différence. Let's take a listen to La Différence.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's La Différence. She's singing La Différence. Well, this is the first time I found this young woman. A new group. And so we have another one they sent me here called Carmel Lucarelli. And this one is Redemption. But before we go into that piece, let's remind our listeners that you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York. We are live in Columbia County with the Haitian Haitian Cultural Program, Lile Litan. I'm Carlene Murphy, your co-host.
Azuke Gregory Sano.
And so we welcome you this afternoon, and we invite you to join us as a sustaining supporter to support this very needed radio station in our community, WGXC 90.7 FM. We also invite you to, if you cannot become a sustaining supporter, to send a check made payable to WGXC and mail it to Care of Wave Farm, 5662 Wood 23, P.O. Box 13, and that's in Accra, New York, 12405. For more information, you can always email us at info@wgxc.org or call the number 518-622-2598. The number again is 518-622-2598. And you can call the station and for options, you get when you call, you'll get a greeting that will guide you to open to a menu of options. You can press extension 1 for general questions about the Wave Farm Art Park. And of course, if you never had a chance to visit it, put that in your calendar to visit the farm park on a good day. Press extension 2 for WGXC 90.7 FM general information. How to become a sustaining supporter, how to become a programmer, how to contribute your talent, whatever that you have, you want to be part of WGXC, you are welcome. And this is extension 2 will bring you to the area that will answer your call. Or press 3 to call in live on air. If you call to be on air, you want to be on air, your extension is extension 3. If you want to leave a message for the WGXC feedback line, you can record a message by pressing extension 4 to be played on air whenever that program is on. And we have several volunteer programmers that's there to offer you, to answer your questions, whatever that you feel that you are discussing. If you want in the feedback line, if you have any requests or if you have any questions or anything that we've been doing good or somewhere we can improve, please let us know because we welcome your input. As a volunteers programmer, all the training that we receive here, we put it to work, but that doesn't mean it's perfect. We expect some days that we might have some areas that might need some input. And we're counting on you to show us the way. Thank you much. And then we welcome you. Okay, what do we have now?
Les dernières nouvelles concernant Haïti au 8 novembre 2025 sont dominées par la poursuite de la grave crise sécuritaire, politique et humanitaire. Le pays est toujours confronté à une violence des gangs généralisée ainsi qu'aux conséquences d'événements climatiques récents. Violence des gangs. La violence armée reste le problème principal avec des gangs qui contrôlent de larges portions de la capitale Port-au-Prince. Plus de 700 000 personnes ont été déplacées de force en raison du conflit et des milliers ont été tuées récemment le 8 novembre. L'ONU a noté des proches des familles dans certains camps de déplacés. La première fois que la faim atteint un niveau si sévère depuis 2022. Les Nations Unies et les États-Unis continuent de cibler les chefs de gang haïtiens avec de nouvelles sanctions dans le but de rétablir la sécurité et de démanteler les réseaux criminels. Haïti a connu une instabilité politique continue récemment. Le premier ministre, M. Gary Conil, a été démissionné de ses fonctions par le Conseil présidentiel de transition
CPT après seulement quelques mois en poste au fond de lutte intestinée. Haïti sollicité le soutien du Saint-Siège pour l'organisation d'une conférence internationale visant à promouvoir la paix et la stabilité. Initiative saluer le Vatican qui a réaffirme sa solidarité. L'ouragan Mélissa en fin octobre, début novembre, l'ouragan Mélissa a gravement touché Haïti et la Jamaïque, causant la mort de dizaines de personnes et déplaçant des milliers de familles dans le sud d'Haïti. L'Union européenne a annoncé une aide d'urgence d'une million d'euros et 30 tonnes de fournitures pour aider aux efforts de secours.
That's what you have for?
Yeah.
Okay. We have the turning point. Now we have a continued update on this is EC Haiti on issues of the environment. And as you know, that the environment is always an issue. And we have the United Nations conference on the climate change, and that's happening in Brazil this week, this month practically. It started this week. The Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. So the COP20, or Conference of the Parties to the UN, on Friday, November 7, Smith Augustine. This year, the presidential advisor, the presidential transitional advisor, addressed the 30th Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. In his remark, Advisor Smith Augustine emphasized that small island states like Haiti, despite being low emitters of greenhouse gases, are disproportionately affected by the impacts of climate change, just like Jamaica, just like the Caribbean as a whole. But in the other part of the world, in the Philippines and Pakistan and all the other places in the east, this is the same thing. A lot of people are suffering the rise in water, ocean water, and all that. This is something, and those are not, they call them underdeveloped, but they don't do things that developed countries do that causes the ocean to cause the environmental issues that those small countries are facing. So he went on to say he called on industrialized countries to honor their commitments regarding climate finance in support of adaptation and resilience for the most vulnerable nations. He also highlighted Haiti's efforts, particularly through the implementation of its national determined contribution, because each country that's part of the framework on climate change, they are also responsible to address certain issues. You see, for them to address these issues on determined by the Convention on Climate Change, they have to have support. And those are the support that he's referring to. And so he said, the development of a national adaptation plan and its adherence to the climate resilience program, he emphasized the urgent need to strengthen national capacities to better respond to increasingly frequent climate disaster. Let's take a listen and see if we can hear it from here. Okay, I don't think we want to hear it there, but let me bring it to you in this, hold on. Because this is an issue that a lot of people are having are discussing right now on climate change, because we know this is what it is. This is what it is, climate validation and all the problems that they have. This is what they have to deal with. And so on climate change, he emphasized that, where is this story? He said, okay. He talked about this, this is his CIT. Yeah, he talked about that issue. Hold it, here it is.
Monsieur le Président, Monsieur le Secrétaire Général, Excellences, Mesdames et Messieurs, les chefs d'État et de gouvernement, Mesdames et Messieurs les chefs de délégation, distingués délégués, c'est avec un profond sentiment de responsabilité que je porte aujourd'hui la voix du peuple haïtien à cette 30e conférence des parties à la Convention cadre des Nations Unies sur les changements climatiques. Je veux premièrement adresser mes sincères remerciements à Son Excellence le Président Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva et au peuple brésilien pour leur accueil chaleureux. Je félicite le Secrétaire Général des Nations Unies pour son engagement constant en faveur de la paix et de la justice internationale. Excellences, distingués délégués, ma délégation veut rappeler que le réchauffement général de la planète est dû aux activités humaines. Les industries polluantes sont les principales sources des émissions de gaz à effet de serre. Malheureusement, ce sont les pays du Sud qui sont les grandes victimes de phénomènes qu'ils n'ont pas créés. Pour les petits États insulaires en développement, les changements climatiques sont déjà une menace existentielle. Et si l'on parvient à perdre notre territoire, nous perdons notre identité, notre histoire et notre culture. Déjà, les risques sont réels. Si rien n'est fait, des villes côtières et même des îles entières pourront disparaître dans les prochaines décennies à cause de la montée des eaux. Haïti, mon pays, est l'un des États les plus vulnérables au changement climatique. Il est classé au premier rang de l'indice mondial des risques climatiques et au troisième rang de l'indice des risques climatiques à long terme. Il fait face à la sécheresse, aux inondations côtières, à la salinisation des sols, à une érosion de sa biodiversité et à une baisse du rendement agricole. Les ouragans de plus en plus violents dévastent le pays. La semaine dernière encore, l'ouragan Mélissa a fait 47 morts, 17 disparus et occasionné des dégâts matériels considérables dans le sud et l'ouest du pays. Le Conseil présidentiel de transition a une pensée émue à l'intention des victimes haïtiennes et met en œuvre en ce moment un plan de réponse adapté aux pertes et aux besoins. Nous profitons aussi de l'occasion pour adresser nos sympathies aux autres peuples de la région caribéenne touchés par cette catastrophe. Excellences, distingués délégués, l'État haïtien a toujours agi pour répondre à ses engagements visant l'atténuation en luttant pour l'adaptation du pays. Depuis 2005, la législation nationale continue d'être actualisée pour répondre aux défis environnementaux et climatiques. Mon pays a présenté plusieurs communications nationales et a élaboré un plan d'action national d'adaptation et une politique nationale sur les changements climatiques. Nous avons adhéré au programme pilote sur la résilience climatique PPRC et soumis en 2021 une première actualisation de notre contribution déterminée au niveau national. Je veux souligner que les pays en développement et particulièrement les petits États insulaires qui sont les moins responsables du réchauffement climatique ne pourront pas réussir leur adaptation sans une solidarité internationale sincère et agissante. Les pays industrialisés, principaux responsables du réchauffement climatique, se sont engagés à offrir une assistance financière et technique accompagnée de renforcement des capacités. Je vous remercie. Merci en pile.
Now, this is This sounds so good, you know, the Haiti and all that. But the environment, is not the first time we've been talking about the environment and the issues that that needs to be addressed.
People,
but in the meantime,
dying.
Yes, well, not just from all the destructions that we saw happen in Haiti. Okay, all these destructions. Do you think that it doesn't affect the environment?
Of course, it affects the
environment. Okay.
But what happened, the last hurricane passed to Jamaica. It doesn't really pass in Haiti.
Yeah.
It was in Jamaica. But the problem, the environment we have down there, killed almost 30 people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's not counting those who are being killed by gangs. Mm. So any which way, we are in a situation. Now, the other update relating to, not practically to the environment, but finances. This man addressed the COP20 in Brazil relating to environment, the issues that Haiti needs help to deal with. We have the OAS, the Organization of American States, and SEAL. SEAL is the Latin American Business Council, so the Council of ETA American, if you have to change it, because in Latin American, they have a different acronym when they are translating names of organizations or projects. So the Organization of American States and the Latin American Business Council, or they call it SEAL, not with an S, but C for council, are joining forces to promote economic and social development in the Americas, with a focus on education and support for Haiti. Now, I'm going to come to a point where I'm going to discuss something with you about this, because it is interesting to even read it. This is IET Lib. The OAS and CL will collaborate to strengthen cooperation between the public and private sectors and the economic, social, and educational development of the region, particularly to support Haiti. Now, this partnership was formalized following the signing of a memorandum of understanding today during the 24th SEAL Plenary Assembly held in Washington, D.C. SEAL President Roberto Zamora stated, "This agreement represents a great opportunity for a new era amid so many changes taking place in the world. Politicians cannot solve problems alone." You hear that?
No.
Okay. We've been saying that to many people. When you elect someone, that doesn't mean that all your problem is solved.
No.
Now, he said, and neither can business people. If we come together to confront economic challenges and promote the development of our countries, it is a winning formula. Now, the important thing is to make this a reality, not to leave it at the signing of a protocol, but to move forward on issues of interest for economic development. And we are going to put it to the test with a very difficult task, Haiti. But I don't know how all that money, no, the article, they said that $60 million were spent in 5 years and nothing to show for it. So what happened to that money? The article went on to discuss, to say, meanwhile, the Secretary General of the OAS, Albert Wemden, stated the signing of this document is a milestone for us. And I am pleased that one of the areas of cooperation includes not only financial inclusion, are you here? Not only financial inclusion, employment, education, and food security, but also support for Haiti. The OAS leader expressed his conviction that this partnership, this long-standing relationship, not only with regard to Haiti, but many other places where we will be able to assist. SEAL brings together private business leaders from 19 Latin American countries: Puerto Rico, Miami, and the Iberian Peninsula, all committed to a borderless America. Do you really believe there will be a borderless America? Fostering the exchange of experiences, promoting investment, and integrating entrepreneurs. The word borderless America, that's been an America without frontier. An America where no one needs to cross the border as an immigrant or as an illegal immigrant. Is that the case? A borderless America. This is really, I'm stunned to hear this word and it's in the same sentence. To have Puerto Rico, Miami, and the Iberian Peninsula committed to a borderless America. So what about those people, especially from Haiti and other countries in Latin America, who cannot come to this country because of the current environment for immigrants? You see, a borderless America. Mm-hmm. So that means you're not crossing the border if you are coming from Mexico. Yeah. That means you are not crossing the border if you are coming from any other Latin American countries.
Yeah, but you have to pass by Mexico.
No. Well, when they said borderless, that doesn't mean that you can come in without proper documentation. Yeah. So that's what they have to. Because when they say in general borderless, that means that everyone can cross over and travel with no restraint.
Yeah.
That's what borderless is, just like in Europe. People travel in Europe. And they don't have, they have one ticket that allows them to go to different countries in the European Union.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the only place you can pass to get here, it's Mexico.
Canada?
No, but you
Canada
can.
Too, because people travel from Canada to this country.
Yeah.
But what we have to realize, when I saw the word borderless, what comes to mind is the people in the Americas.
Yeah.
You are in the America, we're in the Americas, because all this, the whole continent.
Yeah, it's the American
continent. The American continent. Yeah. So that means we are from the Caribbean, we are from Latin America, we're Latin America. So we are Americans. Yeah. Latin Americans are Americans.
Yeah, because we're part of the continent.
Yeah, but like what let's say this at the Spanish Haiti, Latin America. Yeah. You see? So the Americas contains the Latin America, Central America, United States of America.
Yeah.
So this is really something. If you look into it, there is no one really that's illegal. If you look at it to have a borderless America, and as the guy said in the piece, the leader said in the piece, to exchange experiences, promoting investment, and integrating entrepreneurs, that means businesses will be able to function here, cultural and all the other experiences in exchange. You are living in the Americas.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it is in reality.
You need proper paper.
You need proper paper and everything.
You have to get invited.
You have to be invited.
Yeah.
Now, let's listen to Carmel Lucarelli. It's a new singer that they sent me. But her song is Redemption. Let's take a listen. That's it. That's an interpretation of Bob Marley. Cheers. Yes, the sound of freedom by Bob Marley. That's an interpretation of that song, Redemption. As we are moving to the end of our program this afternoon, I'd like to remind you, you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York, and always live in Columbia County with the Haitian cultural program, Lile Litan. I have one other update that really caught my attention on Haiti, is that there was a distribution of 1,692 insurance cards delivered to teachers in Haiti. Last October, as part of its mission to support workers through its various insurance programs, the Office of Occupational Accident, Illness, and Maternity Insurance, or OFATMA, presented 1,692 insurance cards to the Human Resources Department of the Ministry of National Education and Vocational Training for the benefit of public school teachers. The ceremony held at the Ministry of National Education took place in the presence of an OFATMA delegation led by Ms. Cassandre Cillien, the head of the Social Insurance Service, and José Cherenfant, the head of the Promotion Service. Ms. Anne Monique Lundy, the Director of Human Resources at the Ministry, accompanied by her assistant, Wilfrix Ozar, that's a mouthful, welcomed this initiative, which she considered a significant step toward better social protection for teaching staff in the country's 10 departments. The ministry has committed to ensuring the rapid and efficient distribution of cards to beneficiaries. In his remarks, José Cherenfant reaffirmed OFATMA's commitment to maintain those close collaboration with the ministry to guarantee teachers quality service. I just hope what I'm reading here, what I've heard, or what is published from ECIT, it's really something that people can count on. Because even in developed countries, it's a battle for insurers to get service when they are in need. And Haiti, with infrastructure, it's not guaranteed.
The political situation is...
The political situation...
is not stable, you know?
What about schools? How many public school teachers, schools that the teachers that practically servicing the population...
They close.
Okay?
Most of the school close.
And then what happened if those teachers... are fired or have to be moved because so many displaced people, they cannot work in the same facility that they work. What is, and it has also maternity insurance. You remember?
They're talking about something for the new Haiti, not this one now.
Yeah, but they already distribute over 1,500 cards already. What a distribution of 1,692 insurance cards. And whose insurance?
That's been deported.
That's what you have. They said something here that caught my attention too. They said, after they called the name of the people, they said that there is the benefit. Where is that part? They said something about the social protection, but the insurer to the human resources of the Ministry of the Education, the benefit. But they also said there is someone of the José Cherenfant is the head of the Promotion Service.
Yeah, it's
okay. So they are promoting it.
Yeah.
But that I'm following up to see if they have any information about this particular distribution, because a lot of kids cannot go to school. A lot of people are displaced. A lot of people have difficulty registering their kids to school, then no hospitals if you have if you are ill, because even Médecins Sans Frontières or Doctors Without Borders, they have to close their clinics in Haiti. And that insurance, how many insurances, insurance companies servicing this population? Is that just one company offering all the services, or for a maternity insurance, there is a company here? And how do those teachers pay for the service? Is that they take money directly off their paycheck? With discussion on how much that they are contributing per year. You see, that's the reason I'm a little suspicious when I read articles, published articles on Haiti and this program. Because they give you just the general information, just general, but no details about how many companies participating, insurance companies offering the service, how much the people will be charged, and if they have documentation to show how much money per week they will deduct from, because most of the people, they don't have a check. They are paid in Haitian currency. How do they keep track on the money that those people are giving to this organization for insurance when they don't have any track record or any copies of the total? The reason that I'm discussing this here, Azuke, is because they have a history when they come to the insurance for the old people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Ona.
When they take money off people when they were working and for insurance when they get old, when they retire, those people have no record.
They don't get jack.
They don't have, not only that, they have no records of how much money was taken from them from a particular company when they were working.
Yeah, I like you take this point, because the place called ONA, they collect money from the workers.
But
the politicians,
they have access to that
they
money.
They know where the money is. Some of them go to take billions of
money. They borrow money on that account to do open their business.
Yeah.
And then they never pay back.
They don't pay,
Or if they pay, they pay so little, most of the money still remain in their pocket. And when the government changes, everybody forgets about it.
Yeah.
So you taking money for insurance, are you going to pay the people? By checks? And will the check, the subcheck will show how much money they are contributing from each paycheck? And what happened when they leave in employment and they don't have work anymore, or they haven't been able to work away?
They don't pay people from the factory by check.
By check, it's always the good. Right there in cash. And what happened is, it's good for the workers, because outside the company, they have those food merchants selling food during the week.
They're waiting for the money.
They are waiting to be paid. So you can't give that person a check, and the person, they will beat them up because they cannot pay. The merchants sell you food because they know you are working.
They're tough.
Oh, they are going to get paid, because when you get paid, they get paid.
Yeah.
So that's the reason the workers want the money in cash. So if you take money of those people to cover insurance, they have no idea how much you take. You can tell them, they forget as soon as they leave the building. And then they don't have any documentation to show that for the month, you pay that much to the company, and your yearly premium, and any of that. So people will know that they are insured, but they don't know what. They don't know how much they're paying. And before you know it, they come in with their card and say, well, I've been employed by such and such company. Now I no longer work for that company. I'm working for that school. Now I'm working for another school. And you will take money from me, from that other school, and how much do I have so far?
But they don't give people explanation, you know.
Explanation.
They don't educate people.
That's what I'm saying. They in general, they just tell you, here's what it is, but they don't tell you exactly how much it's costing you, what you're getting, and for how long that you have to pay
and,
what you're paying.
And they wrote it in the paper. They said the Social Security take $10, $10, yes. Blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
Take 10.
Yeah, and then for the year, this is how much you pay.
Yeah.
But they don't have that information.
No.
And nobody keep track. So you can come into, because that's why nobody retired in Haiti get a pension from owner
yeah.
that I know of.
Yeah.
Even the military. I remember they were talking about, what's his name?
Boulos?
No, it was when Duvalier was in Haiti, they were talking about paying the president or people who serve the nation a pension. But that disappeared from sight. You don't know if that ever implemented, if Duvalier ever get any money. But I said that was a good idea because they had to give people who worked in the nation. But Duvalier was not qualified for that because he took his money. Just like the prodigal son, he took his money and then went to France and spent it. And then once he broke, he returned to Haiti, broke.
The money.
Then now you have to deal with him. You know, this is the kind of things that... Okay, here's another piece from Loeli from
Call. A piece about the environment.
Yeah, Port-au-Prince. This is Port-au-Prince from Carmel Locarelli.
Je serai là. tu tomberas, mais à chaque faux pas, je serai là. Continue ta route, l'avenir c'est toi. Tous ceux qui doutent ne les écoutent pas. Si tu as peur et si tu perds la foi,
tu seras là.
Yes, voilà. Tu seras là si tu perds la foi. Mm-hmm. Oui, n'attend de WGXC 90.7 FM, Ekra, Green
York.
In Columbia County, New York. Yes.
We invite you to join us again here on WGXC 90.7 FM and always live in Columbia County, the Haitian cultural program, Lile Litan.
New York is a special place.
Now we have
New York.
Okay. And so we have another music. You have something that
you're talking about the environment.
Yeah. Copa going on in Brazil.
Yeah.
Erosion. Yeah. That's good. Okay. What happened?
Azakayo. WVXC.
You know the song Erosion?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Fanfan Louis. A new recording. As we are approaching the end of our show, I invite you to join us again here on WGXC 90.7 FM. We are invited also to become a sustaining supporter of this radio station. We wouldn't be able to do it without you. Your help is very important. Philomenia. Yes, that was Fanfan Louis. And we have one more that we can share with our listeners before we go. And so this is Politik is the name. Okay. And that's what's the name? That's the Azaka. The sound is Azaka. Azaka yo. Tropicana, Golds. Spanish Haiti. La cruz de tu dolor.
L'orchestre Tropicana d'Haïti, la fusée d'or du Nord.
I hope you enjoy your show this afternoon. A show we invite you to join us again here on WGXC. We play our part.
Yes. See you next week. Bye.